Who's to blame for your bad luck? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Sultan Ramza, who was on our previous show, who believed his bad luck always landed him in jail.
I grew up believing in luck big time, and a lot of people would be like, oh, you're so lucky, or oh, he must have really bad luck because this or that.
Yeah.
And there's all these things that we can adapt to, which aren't really true, like what goes around comes around. And sometimes people will say that like, oh, well, he messed you over, he's going to get messed over. Break a leg, it could be a good thing.
Kind of like karma.
Good luck. Yeah, karma. Yeah. And so I don't go with that anymore, but I remember those times thinking good luck, bad luck, karma, all that.
Yeah. I always thought I was just the most unluckiest person ever, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just felt like no matter what, I just didn't have that luck like other people had.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about a different concept.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible actually talked about more about whatever you put out, there'll be consequences.
Mm.
And so in that case, instead of looking at it like, well, it's our bad luck or circumstances is to blame, maybe it's something that we're doing is to blame.
Mm.
And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin.
Mm.
Meaning that when we sin, we're sowing something bad, like sowing seed, right? You know, so we're sowing something bad,
right?
And it's not going to be good. Good news is Jesus says that if he makes you free from sin, you'll be free indeed, which is awesome, the gospel.
Yeah.
But there is a part in our lives where we have to take responsibility for, you know, the things that happen. It's not just bad luck. Maybe it's something we're doing.
Mm. And I think that I grew up also in a way where I blamed not having a dad or growing up in a hard life for the reason I acted the way I did, or not having the things I had or not being as smart. I blamed anyone, everyone for my situation. And I can remember when we were married and we'd get into an argument and I'd blame you and say, it's all your fault. And you'd say, is that what you're going to say to God on judgment day? You're going to blame me? And I started realizing I need to take responsibility for my own actions. I cannot blame other people for where I'm at. And so if you're listening and you're blaming your past or your boss or whoever for your actions, it's time to take inventory and give it to God. Let's hear from Sultan right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Young Living Essential Oils and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Young Living is the leader in 100% pure essential oils, providing natural plant-based ways to improve your health while replacing many chemical-laden products in your home. People have been using essential oils for thousands of years, even in the Bible. To order, just visit wearingsharingcaring.com today, and for a limited time, receive a free gift to help you get started. That's Young Living Essential Oils at wearingsharingcaring.com.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Sultan Ramza, and he was with us on our previous show. He shared with us how he grew up in a Muslim religion. At 3 years old, his parents were divorced, and though his dad was imam, he never got a chance to really spend time with his dad and get to really know him. At 17 years old, he ended up in jail, and at that time, he would sneak to read the Bible in the bathroom, and he learned a lot and really believed, like, this is good stuff, but he never started to really seek God or believe in Jesus at that time. And so as time went on, he ended up moving to Florida and got arrested for resisting arrest and ended up beating the police, and he was at the lowest of his lows, and here we are. Let's welcome to the show, Sultan. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes. So tell me about this. You were actually arrested for just really being defiant. You were angry, it seems, from what you were sharing,
you
were just done. You were fighting these police and then they tied you up and you were so embarrassed when you got to the jail. But you had a prison sentence for 4 years. But the night that you went, you were so upset and even suicidal. Tell me about how you felt.
I felt really embarrassed and humiliated to think that all of my talents, you know, all my knowledge and all the things that I had going for me couldn't keep me out of trouble. You know, I mean, when I got arrested, I had a great job. I had my own place. I had all these things I had established, you know, moving to Florida. And it was just all gone, all again. And there was nobody to really blame. It was me. And so, you know, at that point, you know, I felt very hopeless because I could see the cycle, you know, I was constantly getting in trouble. Even if I'm doing well, I end up in trouble.
So tell me about the night. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I was in a jail cell and I was by myself. You know, I had the lights off and I was just sitting on the bed. You know, I was just reflecting on what is the problem. Because at this point, you know, you're talking 4 or 5 years of constantly getting in trouble and having the best intentions and it never working out. And so I was contemplating, you know, suicide. I figured, hey, you know, clearly it's just useless. It's just hopeless. And as I was sitting there, I heard a voice. And the voice said simply, sin is your problem and Jesus is the solution.
Wow.
You know, when I heard that, I felt good because at least it identified, you see, it identified for me. Okay, here's my problem.
Yeah, sin is my problem. Now, you heard this voice. It wasn't a cellmate. It wasn't any other kind of voice. It was an audible voice. Is that right? And it was God.
Right. Yes. And at that moment, you know, I just started crying because when you have, you know, emotions and feelings and things that you're wrestling and dealing with, it is very hard to lock down, you know, what the problem is. You know, like you can have people who are addicted to drugs and sometimes they're addicted because of certain reasons, but they can't really lock down the reasons. And so for me, it was kind of locked down, you know, and it made sense. You know, people go in and out of jail all the time. And the simple thing of if you don't do crime, you won't go to jail really doesn't occur to a lot of people.
Right.
Because the perception always is, I'm going to get away with it. Right. That's always the perception. And with that perception, you never think about the consequences.
Right.
And so when I heard that sin was my problem, all of a sudden, I started looking at changing who I was.
Right.
And I started accepting responsibility at that moment, which I think was the most empowering thing in my life, to accept responsibility for my own sin.
Mm.
And it gave me power because if I am the problem, well, we can fix that. You know, if it's where I live, how do you fix that? You keep moving and you keep having the same problem. You keep moving 100 times, you know, a million times.
Wow.
And if it's my friends, you know, it's always your friends.
Right. You had to blame somebody, right? And not yourself, but here now you're being put on the spot like, hey, you're the problem.
Right, right. And the great thing about it, though, was there was a solution.
Yeah.
And so at that moment, acknowledging the sin wasn't a problem because there was a solution there. And remember, I didn't have a Bible or anything. And so I prayed for a Bible. And the next morning, they moved me to a different cell. And there was a Gideon's New Testament, hardcover, just a New Testament. And I began to just devour that book. And I spent 2 weeks crying and confessing sin and asking for forgiveness.
Wow. So as you were in that jail, you gave your life to Jesus. How did things change when you started to confess your sins? Did you feel a weight come off? Did your heart change, your mind? Tell me about that.
Yeah, a lot of things changed. A lot of weight was gone. A lot of guilt, a lot of shame. But most of all, the feeling of being loved. One of the heaviest things that really convicted me and blessed me at the same time was the fact that nobody else knows me, but God has been there with me all through my life and still loved me. That was amazing to me because all my secrets, that if other people may have knew, you know, they would reject me. I mean, heck, people know basic stuff and they reject you, you know.
Right.
Imagine, you know, if they knew everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I understood at that moment that God knew everything. Like, all the stuff I was confessing, he already knew it. But he still loved me.
Wow.
And that was an amazing thing because I think up to that point, I really wasn't sure what love was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I come from a very dysfunctional home.
Right.
So, you know, it's very difficult to know what love really is. And so at that moment, I knew.
Wow. And there are people listening right now, Sultan, who don't know love, and they just keep finding themselves in trouble. Nothing's working for them. They feel at a loss. There might be someone listening who is even suicidal right now. What would you say to those who are listening who are hopeless and just lost? They don't even know what to do. What would you say?
I'd probably tell them the same thing God told me, that sin is the problem. And what I mean by that is there's things in their lives, you know, there was in my life that we use to try to pacify ourselves and try to cover the hurt. But when we are able to lay hold of those things and confess them to God and allow ourselves to be loved,
mm-hmm.
you know, I allowed God to love me. You know, He does anyway, but we can reject His love.
Right.
And I think that for many people, including myself, you feel ashamed and then you sin. And then you feel more shame, and then you sin some more. And before you know it, you know, you're just wallowing.
Mm.
But that moment that I was able to start confessing the things I did wrong, not my parents, not my friends, not yeah. where I lived. These are things that I did that made me ashamed, that made me feel guilty, and I gave it to God, and I received His forgiveness and His love.
Wow.
That's where the freedom is at.
Mm.
And that's what I would tell anybody. You know, allow yourself to get before God. And be honest, be yourself before Him because He already knows you, and allow yourself to be loved.
Wow, that's amazing. And we just want to thank you. We know that now you are reaching people. You're actually going into the prisons, rehabs, homeless centers. And we just thank you that you are reaching out to others who are in need, even on this program, just sharing hope with them. And we're going to pray for our guests right now. So thank you, Sultan, for sharing your testimony with us. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
I take a moment to really revel in an idea that came across as Sultan was speaking. And the idea is that, you know, we all end up in problems. And it's so easy to blame someone else for our problems. It's so easy to be like, you know, the reason why I got fired or the reason why this happened or that happened is because of somebody else. But very rarely do we ever point the finger to ourselves because that's too painful. If it is us, some of us feel like, well, if we're guilty, we're going to get in trouble or there'll be shame involved and we have to hide that. I sense that there's someone even listening right now who does a huge job of just always pointing to someone else but never taking responsibility themselves because there's no solution if they do that except a bad one. The good news is with Christ and with Christianity is that it acknowledges the real problem, but it provides a real solution. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we just take a moment right now. If you're listening and you say, that's me, just say this with me, my friend. Jesus, I acknowledge the problem. And if the problem is within me, I'm asking you to purge me to get that problem out of me. Let me be made new. Jesus, I receive you. I believe in you. I want to follow you. I want to know how to do life your way, not my way. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.